Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
With your hands lifted up all over this place, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have gathered from every work of life to give thanksgiving for how far you brought us as a people and a nation. We thank you for the different governments that have come and gone, and we thank you for the present government, the leadership and the president, and for all past leaders and presidents who have also performed their quota and handed over the baton onto today's present leadership. We want to give thanks for how you've kept us as a people and a nation. Families provided for us, kept our airwaves and our highways from harm's way, from danger, from trouble, from calamity, from disaster, from tragedies, that in the midst of the storms of life, that Ghana has known peace and experienced a form of stability and progress in the midst of it all. We want to give thanks. We want to say thank you, Lord. We lift up thanksgiving from the east of Ghana. We say thank you. On the behalf of the people of the north, we say thank you. On the behalf of the people of the south, we say thank you. On the behalf of the people of the west, we say thank you for how far you have brought Ghana. We give you thanks for what you've done in the past, for what you are doing, and for all you are yet to do. Glory be to God in the highest for great things he has done. And now, O Lord, glorify me, your servant, with the glory I had with you before the world began. The glory I had with you before I became a clot of blood in my mother's womb. Let that glory be revealed and be demonstrated one more time, even on the 50th anniversary celebration of Ghana and of the 50th birthday of your man servant. Let the glory I had with you in eternity before I came into time be revealed to shatter and to vanquish all the forces of evil and of darkness that have put themselves in battle array against the cause of our God. Let their decisions, let their verdicts be overturned, be overthrown, be overruled, and let it be known that the heavens rule in the affairs of men. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we give you praise, we give you glory, that the church is marching on and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah to the glory of God. Somebody give him praise. Somebody give him praise. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. You may be seated in heavenly places. Before we proceed any further this morning, I'd like to invite to bless Ghana at its 50th independence. I believe that it is not by chance that Ghana is 50 this year, and that I am also 50 this year. Why, are you jealous? If you are not jealous and you are clapping, clap well. We thank God that he's given us the opportunity to see the 50th jubilee of this country. And I'm very excited than anybody here to have the opportunity to celebrate Ghana's independence with the day that I was also born. But before we proceed any further, I'd like to honor, and I want us to celebrate, a woman that gave up everything she was and could ever be and had in the great nation of the United States of America, and came into Ghana 1952. And she's been in this country since then, going back and forth every now and then, but has been based here from 1952, preaching the gospel, praying and interceding for Ghana. And she was here when our independence took place. She saw it all, and she's been behind the scenes, hiding in the background, communicating with heaven concerning the destiny of Ghana. And I believe that it is very prophetic for her to be alive at the Jubilee celebration of Ghana. It is like a Simeon who was told by the prediction of the Spirit of God that he will not see death until he has seen the salvation of Israel. And I believe that she is one of those that cannot and will not die, irrespective of the efforts of the powers of darkness. She cannot die and will not and must not until she sees the full salvation of the Republic of Ghana. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you one that I call mother, one that I've come to love and appreciate, who is 91 years old today. I want you to put your hands together, stand on your feet, and let's celebrate Bishop Miller as she comes to bless Ghana and his people. Everywhere you are right now, put your hands together. Let's rejoice and celebrate Mama. Mama, we are on live all over Ghana, on television right now, on TV3. I want you to bless Ghana. You've been here from 1952. You've loved Ghana. You gave up America to come here. You have a special love and passion for this country. You saw our independence. You saw Dr. Kwame Nkrumah and all the others. I want you to bless Ghana. And I want you to bless this house, this church. Whatever God puts in your heart, just bless Ghana. We need your blessings. It is a miracle that he has kept you alive. And is it not a miracle and a wonder that she's 91 years old today? Come on, somebody. Somebody put your hands together. Come on, don't sit there and look at me that way. Let's celebrate this gift of God. Amen. Most times we talk about people and celebrate them when they are dead and gone. But I think God wants us to celebrate people while they are alive for what they have done for the cause of God. I want you to put your hands together with a Shabbat as we ask Bishop Miller to pray and bless Ghana. Ghana is looking at you. All over this country, people are watching you right now and are waiting to hear from you. Bless us as a mother in Israel and in Zion.
Yes, thank you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord. We bless you for your presence, oh God. We bless you because you're right here where we are. We bring your presence in the presence of your people.
Yes.
And today, Lord God, is a day of remembrance.
Yes.
Of the mighty great things that happened over these 50 years. And you kept me alive to see so much of this. You kept me alive until the fullness of time. And in this place today, I want to leave your blessing and your glory and your honor upon these people. That while my days are coming to an end, but there are new days rising up. They will be the descendants, the descendants, the descendants of what everyone is seeing today. What a glorious day to live in. And I pray your greatest blessing in this place today. May it go on from generation to generation. Your glory,
yes.
Your honor,
yes.
And your praise.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. And we receive every bit of it. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name again and again and again. Thank you, Lord God. And may your blessing go with you everywhere you go. You'll never be alone. For the Lord God hath called you for this day, that you too will see His glory like you never saw it before. And always remember, you will never be alone again. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing, for your glory, and for your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord God.
This is a great day for all of us and for Ghana. Please be seated in heavenly places. I'd like to honor my mother. I want you to please acknowledge my mother. That young lady standing out there, that is my mother, and we want to honor her and thank God for her. Amen. I'd like to talk to you for some few minutes this morning on a subject I entitled Living for a Greater Cause. Living for a Greater Cause. Living for a Greater Cause. There is no other day and time in our history as a people or a church or a nation where we must seek and desire not to live for ourselves, but to live for a cause that is greater than ourselves. Throughout the Bible and throughout history, everybody that did something significant and anyone that did something that was worth talking about and worth praising and honoring such an individual was one that did things not for themselves but for the cause of God or the cause of humanity or the cause of a people, a nation, or a generation. And like never before, I want to encourage us all as a people and a nation to begin to display, to demonstrate, and to desire to live a life that is greater than ourselves. To live for a cause. Not to live and die like everybody else. But when you die, even if people don't like you, they cannot dispute the fact of the fact that you contributed and you did something for the good of humanity. So many people live and die, and nobody even know they are dead. And nobody cares about them. But there are people who are dead and gone, and we still talk about them because of the contribution they made for humanity. God called Abraham in Genesis the 12th chapter. And he said, in Genesis the 12th chapter, he said, I will bless you so you can be a blessing. What is the essence of living? The essence of living is living to be a blessing. Living to be a blessing. Now ask yourself, how much of a blessing have you been to anyone apart of your own family? If you just live to bless your children, to bless your family, then you live to bless yourself. But true living is living to be a blessing to others. True living is where you live a selfless life, where it is not about you, but it is about God. Where it is not about you, but it is about a purpose that is greater than yourself. David was sent by his father to go into the battlefield to bring food to his brothers. When he arrived at the battlefield, he saw an uncircumcised Philistine by the name of Goliath, a terrorist of their day, the most wanted terrorist of that day in the person of Goliath. literally threatening an entire nation. And everybody went into hiding. Everybody feared for their life. And therefore, no man did lift up his head. According to the scriptures, they all went into hiding because they cared about their life and did not care about the nation. It was about their lives and their family. It wasn't about the nation. It wasn't about the people. And therefore, because it wasn't about the people and the nation, but it was about them, they could not receive the endorsement of heaven. And heaven could not stand behind them. And the El Elyon will not empower them because it was about them and not about God. It was about them and not about the nation. It was about them and not about the people. And God said, I will not give you my glory, neither will I empower you for yourself. If I'm going to empower you and give you my glory and give you divine skills and capabilities that you may prevail against the one that threatens the destiny of an entire nation, then it has to be about my glory. It has to be about the well-being and the welfare of the people, the nation, not about you. And because it was about their self, because it was about their personal security, and it was about their personal honor and glory and self, everybody lacked the ability to face Goliath. They went into hiding, and a young man by the name of David came on the scene. And the Bible said, when he saw this uncircumcised Philistine giant, he said, what shall be done for the man that takes down this giant? And when they told him, the Bible said, he said, I can handle this man. And listen to what David said. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine giant who stands here to defy the armies of the living God? Who is he that threatens the cause of Israel? Who is he, and what is it that threatens the cause of this nation as a people? And the Bible said that his brother shut him down and said, David, hold your peace. Shut your big mouth. This is not the place for kids. This is a battlefield. This is a time of war. And the Bible said, and David lifted up his voice and said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? This is not about David, but it's about a cause. It's about the cause of Israel. It's about the cause of the freedom of my people. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? I challenge you today, the people of Ghana and the church of God in Ghana, it is time to live for a cause and stop living for ourselves. One of the reasons why this continent has so much mineral resources, it's one of the richest continents in the entire world. But one of the reasons why this continent is known as the dark continent is because we have a continent that lacks the right leadership. Because we have a people that are very selfish. And as long as we continue to be selfish, as long as it continues to be us and our self-security, as long as it continues to be us and our children and our family and our household, and not about the country, not about the nation, not about the people, not about the continent, we will continue to remain as the dark continent with all the resources we have. We have over 750 million population in Africa, 750 million of the population of the nations of Africa. And there is so much resources on this continent, yet we are known as the dark continent. And the reason is because of too much of selfishness among us. But God is calling us as a people and a nation to rise up to the place of selfless sacrifice. If we begin to become selfless, why is everybody going to America? Why is everybody going to the West? Why is everybody going to Europe? Why are people running to Asia? Why are our people going to Singapore? Why are they going to China to buy things of China, to buy things from Hong Kong? We had independence with Singapore. Singapore, as a matter of fact, had independence in 1960. We had independence in 19... 57 when I was born. And at that same time, Malaysia also had independence. Kwame Nkrumah, when the British left us so much money. Out of some of the money that was left to us by the British, we made contributions to help build the economy of Singapore and Malaysia. Today, Singapore is a first world country. Today, Malaysia has become a superpower country. They have everything you can think of. And Ghana and Africa is still walking in darkness. Why? It's because of selflessness. And if we are going to make a difference after this 50th day Jubilee celebration, we need to have new kinds of leadership. The beautiful people within the church, in our political circle, in our economic scene, in our social scene, in our education scene, of people and of leaders who don't think about themselves, but think about the well-being of the nation and the people. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. We go to the West because there are greener pastures in the West. What made it possible? It wasn't today's generation that made America or the West what it is today. It was a generation of fathers who were dreamers and were visionaries, who had a vision for 50 and 100 years before their time to lay foundations for future generations, to do things that shall benefit posterity. They did not live for themselves. They didn't acquire wealth for themselves. They thought about the well-being of their nation and of their children. They build economies that their children can be proud of. They lay foundation, infrastructures, set up system, created environment within their countries that allows for productivity and creativity, that allows for self-expression without fear, without intimidation. They created an environment that allows all, irrespective of the color of your skin, to come in, to know that man's wealth and man's is not defined by the color of his skin. And man is not defined by the family he was born into, but a man is defined by his content. And today we all run to the West. We run to the West because there are greener pastures, better environments there to be able to allow for our creativity and productivity to be at its best. If this nation and the continent of Africa in the next 50 years will experience the productivity, the creativity, and the kind of environment that prevails at the West, then we need to rise up and to become a people who don't live for ourselves and don't live for today, but live for posterity. We don't live for today, but we live for tomorrow. We must plan the future of our children. We must stop thinking about ourselves and begin to think for generations that are yet unborn. President John F. Kennedy said in his days, he said, "Don't ask what your nation can do for you, but rather, what can you do for your nation?" And everybody in the church, whether you are a leader within the religious circle, or the political circle, or the economic circle, or social scene, it is time for us to ask a question. It is time for us to ask ourselves, what is it that I can do to better my nation? What kind of contribution can I give to the betterment of my nation? What can I do for the good of my people and my country that when I die, I will go down in history as one that made a contribution for generations yet unborn? He said, don't say or ask what your nation can do for you, but rather, what is it that you have that you can offer for the betterment of your nation? It is time for us to have selfless leaders, selfless people, selfless Christians who think of the betterment of the church, think of the betterment of others and not of themselves. Somebody lift up your hands and shout hallelujah. The Bible says that Abraham, after having waited for 25 years for a son, when God gave him a son, after 25 years, God came and said, "Abraham, I have given you the most precious thing you ever desired to have in life. And as a proof and a test for your love and commitment to me, I am Elohim and I am the El Elyon to offer your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, offer him up to me." And the Bible said, and Abraham took his son, laid him upon the altars of sacrifice, took a knife, and was ready to sacrifice his son. And the voice of Elohim came from the volumes and the clouds and the corridors of eternity. eternity and said, Abraham, and Abraham, touch not the lad, for now I know that you love me. And God said, I swear by myself that in blessings you will be blessed, and in multiplying I will multiply you, because I see in you selflessness. I see in you a selfless sacrifice. Take for instance, the other day, the Bible said in the book of John, the 6th chapter, that Jesus had preached to a multitude, 5,000 men, which stands to reason that if the men were 5,000, then the women would have been 10,000, and it stands to reason also that the children would have been about 10,000 also. So Jesus was preaching to at least 20 to 25,000, ladies and gentlemen, of people that have come to hear the words of eternal life in the wilderness. And after having preached to them the uncompromising and unadulterated word of God, the Bible said, and Jesus said, let us give them something to eat. Let us feed them. For we have fed their spirit, but we need to feed their bodies. And the Bible says, and the disciples said, it is impossible to feed these multitudes. But the Bible said that there was a young man who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he surrendered his 5 loaves and 2 fishes into the master's hand. And the master took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and gave thanks. And through the act of thanksgiving, the Bible said that the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, ladies and gentlemen, was multiplied to feed over 20,000. And there were 12 baskets full leftovers of the 5 loaves and of the 2 fishes. If he had kept the 5 loaves and have kept the 2 fishes, we wouldn't have talking about this story and events today. If he had kept the 5 loaves and ate the 2 fishes, he would have died with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. The 5 loaves and the 2 fish would have become insignificant. But because he was selfless, because he didn't think about himself, because it wasn't about his hunger, because he didn't care about himself and his own stomach, but cared about others, he made history, and he went down in history as one that was selfless. Are you hearing me, somebody? The Bible said the other day, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he needed a ride into Jerusalem. He needed a donkey, not a horse, and not a chariot. And the Bible said, he said to his disciples, that there is this donkey tied up. I want you to go loose it. And if any man asks you, what are you doing? Tell them, I am the El Elyon. The cattle on 1,000 hills am I. I am the possessor of the heavens and of the earth. Where were you when I said in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light? He said, tell whosoever questions your decision to loose the donkey that I, the Lord, have need of the donkey. Ladies and gentlemen, understand the rationale behind this donkey. It was trained and fed and kept by the master for so many years, and nobody has ever sat upon it. The master never benefited anything from it. He had kept it for a particular day and a particular event. And Jesus came on the scene and said, I am the Ancient of Days. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. And I am riding into Jerusalem for a cause. I am coming into Jerusalem for the redemption of all mankind and humanity. And I need a ride into Jerusalem. And I want to sit on the back of a donkey who no man has sat upon before. And the master gave out the donkey for Jesus to ride upon the back of the donkey. Ladies and gentlemen, the donkey was nothing until Jesus rode on the back of the donkey. Are you hearing me, somebody? You are nothing until God uses what you have. What you have is nothing. It's meaningless. It's insignificant until you give it to the use of the master. Your money is nothing until you give it to the use of the master. Your honor is nothing until you give it to the use of the master. Your glory and your influence is nothing until you give it to the use of the master. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. What have you that you do? did not receive. And if you receive it, why then do you act like you did not receive it? There is nothing you have that is yours. It's time for people to do things for posterity. It's time for people to do things for the betterment of others. It's time for people to do things for the good of a nation. Somebody lift up your hands and shout, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had many presidents since independence. We have many come and gone. But as much as some may not like Dr. Kwame Nkrumah for whatever reason, I am not a politician. I speak the truth. I speak the truth, and the truth does not fear or compromise. I am not a politician. Neither do I believe in politics. I pray for politicians and I love them because they are citizens and they are doing their good efforts and job and services for the country, which is good. But there is none that has ever come so far that can be compared to Dr. Kwame Nkrumah's leadership. And I tell you why. It is not how many years he lived. It was not his political party that mattered, but it was what he contributed for the good of this country. The motorway, it was predicted to last for 50 years. He built the motorway to last 50 years. And 50 years has come and it's ongoing and the motorway is still standing firm. That is a visionary. Can you imagine what Ghana would have been without an Akosombo Dam? He had a vision to build an Akosombo Dam for the benefit of all parties and of all people of Ghana. And the Akosombo Dam is still standing, speaking, while she lays in his grave. He did something for the good of Ghana. What have you done? What have you done? What did your father do? And what will you do that you may go down in history, that even when you are dead, your name shall still be remembered? Kotoka International Airport, Tema Harbor, Takoradi Harbor, City Hotel, Ambassador Hotel, Meridian Hotel. Nobody has been able to even refurbish it, much more building something to meet that standard. We're talking about dreams and visionaries. I'm told that it takes 2 hours to go to the village of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, and you have to go on a boat canal, 2 hours to travel to his hometown through water. He did not build anything to his name. Everything he did was for Ghana. That is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who have a dream and a vision for a nation and a people, living for others and not for yourself. And if Africa will go anywhere, let all the presidents of Africa that are coming for the celebration of Ghana, for the Jubilee of Ghana, let it be known to all of them that if they will go down and be known in history, from President Obasanjo to all that are in authority today in Africa, with all the wealth and the influence they command, that they will never be remembered that they were president. They will be remembered for the selfless things they did for their people and for the good of their nations. The Bible said that Jesus, remember, the young man, what he had would have become insignificant. There are some of you seated here. There is a need in the church. There is a need in the nation. There are so many needs. And yet, there are people who will never release what they have because they don't even want people to know they have it. And Jesus said, he that shall keep his life will lose it. But he that will lose his life for the cause of the gospel shall gain it. Whatever you have will never be remembered in eternity nor in time if you use it just for yourself. But if you will use it for the church, if you will give it for the cause of the kingdom and the gospel, and if you will do something for the well-being of a nation and a people, even when you are gone, your children shall be remembered because of what you did. Don't live for yourself. Live for a cause greater than yourself. It is time to live a selfless life. It is time to be selfless Christians. It is time for us to have a selfless life and begin to demonstrate selfless sacrifice. The Bible said that a woman came to the feet of Jesus with an alabaster box, which was a savings of his life, possibly a 1 year earning of salary, and brought the alabaster box, broke it at the feet of Jesus. And the disciples were angry and said, "This cost so much money. We could have sold it and used it for something." Jesus said, "Why were you offended that it was used on me? It was not done for me. It was done for my burial. It was done for the cause. It was done for the cause greater than herself." She did not think about the importance of the alabaster box. It was a tradition in those days that when a daughter was born, the parents gave her a box. And that alabaster box is kept until the day she marries. And the day she marries, she hands it over to the husband to signify as an indicator that she has kept herself and that she has been well brought up and trained. When the alabaster box is missing, it's an indication that something went wrong. And when she poured the oil, broke the alabaster box, poured that precious ointment and oil at the feet of Jesus, she surrendered the possibility of her marrying. She gave up her future. She compromised everything to please the master. Seek to please God. Stop pleasing people. Stop being the good books of men. Seek to please God. Seek to be in the good books of men. For it doesn't matter what you do, men will never be pleased of you. But if you please God, the Bible said that the fear of man brings a snare, but he that trusted in the Lord shall be delivered. I don't really care too much anymore about what people think about me. What people think about me don't really matter anymore. What matters is me pleasing God. What matters is what God thinks about me, not what men thinks about me. Somebody lift up your hands and shout, "Yes." Ladies and gentlemen, the other day, the word of the Lord went to King Hezekiah and said to the king, "King Hezekiah, set your house in order. You are going to die." And the Bible said, and the king Hezekiah turned to the wall and said, "God, remember my sacrifice. Remember my works. Remember my offerings. Remember my tithes. Remember how I have helped your church. Remember the things I have done for your church. Remember how I sacrificed my position in power. Remember how I sacrificed my influence. I would have lost my position, but I didn't worry about who thought and what, who thought about what. I placed my position and influence on the line to please you, to help your kingdom, and to build your church. I cannot die." And the Bible says, heaven checked the records. And God said, he has a point. He must not die. He must live 15 more years. Are you hearing me, somebody? What have you done that will speak for you in the day that you are in coma? In the day that you can't help yourself? In the day that you are in trouble? In the day you find yourself in danger, in the day that you are in a situation where you can't help yourself, where you can't talk and you can't pray, what is it that you have done that will speak for you as a memorial before heaven? There was a woman in the book of Acts by the name of Dorcas. And the Bible said Dorcas was a giver. Anything that was needed in the church, she did it. She always made her services available. She gave her time. She gave her talent. She used her influence, her money, everything to push the church. How many of you are using your influence, your power, economically, socially, politically, spiritually, to push the church, to push this nation? How many of you are helping Ghana to fulfill its God-given destiny? How many? And when she died, the church refused to bury her. Today, people die and we are in haste to bury them because they were of no significance whilst they were alive. But for Dorcas, the church will not bury her because she was so useful to the existence of the church. What is it that you have done for God? The church, your nation, that will speak for you in the day when you lie in state and you are gone into eternity out of time and you can't speak and defend yourself. It is your words that will speak for you. The Bible said, blessed are those who die in the Lord for their works shall follow them. Blessed are those who die in the Lord, for their works shall follow them. I challenge you today to have works. Stop living for yourself. Nelson Mandela, after 27 years in prison under the apartheid regime, subjected to all kinds of affliction and tribunals, was greatly disadvantaged in prison, lost all his fortunes and no opportunities to fulfill his dreams. Once he had opportunity to come into power, he served one term, and he could have remained in power up to now, but served one term, became selfless, and allowed for the younger generations to come on the scene and to take over power and to help lead South Africa to the glorious South Africa that it is today. He could have remained in power like other African leaders, but decided that there was no need and reason to remain in power. Is anybody hearing me? And we must begin as a people to appreciate what is right. Even though people may have problems with President Rawlings, after being in power for 20 years, he could have remained in power because he had power in those days. But he left office and handed over to a constitutional rule and government. And he must be commended for that, irrespective of the problems you have with him. I am not a politician, so I have the authority to speak my mind. You may have it. Everybody has his problems. He has his problems. He might have done certain things that was wrong. But we must also commend him for the good things he did to encourage people to do good things. President John Adetunji Kufuor, after two terms, people said, President Kufuor, you are a good man. You are a good man. You are a man of peace. Stay in power. Stay in power. But he said, no. I am not going to attempt, like other presidents, to change the constitution for a third term. I am leaving office after a second term. That is a gentleman. That is a good example. We must commend that also. When people do things that are good, we must commend it. We must stop being a hypocritical society. That we are always hypocritical. We don't talk about the good of people. We speak the good in secret. We are always afraid of what people will say. We have to begin to learn to be a people that speaks our mind. Somebody say yes. Kwame Nkrumah said something. He said the independence of Ghana is meaningless until the total liberation of the continent of Africa. He was looking beyond Africa. He was looking beyond his village. He looked at the entire nation of Ghana. And today, at the 50th independence of Ghana, as we meet to pray, March the 6th on Tuesday, from 6 to 8, oh, how I pray that freedom and true independence and freedom shall reign. Let freedom reign from the east to the north. Let freedom reign from the south to the west. Let freedom reign in every region of Ghana. Let freedom reign in every community of Ghana. Let freedom reign among the families of Ghana. Let freedom reign among all the tribes of Ghana. Let freedom reign among all the political persuasions of Ghana. Let freedom reign among the least and the greatest. Let true freedom reign. Let freedom march forward. Let freedom go forward. Let Ghana know true peace and true freedom. For Ghana was born for such a time like this, to be a light to the continent of Africa. Oh, that Ghana may rise out of the grave. Oh, that Ghana may take its rightful place. Oh, that Ghana, the star of Ghana, may truly shine. And that Ghana may be the nation that it was born to be, without any restrictions whatsoever anymore. Let the powers that have stood in battle array against Ghana, let them be overthrown. Let the decision of the satanic will against the destiny of Ghana be overturned by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let freedom reign within the borders of Ghana. Let freedom reign. Stand on your feet all over this place. With your hands lifted up. From victory on to be trees are me shall be to a before is anguish and Christ is Lord in thee. From thee, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands for Ghana.
Sinking sun, oh, All over this place.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.